Oh, we got the happiest girl you ever saw, and she had no problems. Prettiest baby, and
I'm so pleased.
The only thing, he hadn't heard from her daddy.
he passed out
cigars, but he's got a bad... I can talk there just by picking up the phone, but we afraid if it got in the newspapers, every boy that had a baby would feel like he ought to have a right to, so we didn't do it. And Walt's going out there today, and he's going to take him pictures, and he told the officer that he was coming about the baby being born, but Linda hadn't heard from her husband. She's waiting to name the kid. But they're just doing fine. She thinks she's going to name it Lucinda Deshay. Lucinda, she likes the name because it was my favorite aunt, and kind of name it for Lucy and Linda, Lucinda. And Deshay is my great-grandmother's maiden name, the Deshays of Kentucky. I don't know, have you ever been familiar with them?
Yes, sir, I've been familiar. I was very prominent family in Kentucky in the early days of the state.
That woman, kind of like your family, she had 9 or 10 children, and my great-grandmother was a baby, and had 4 boys. And one of them was governor of Kentucky, and one was congressman of Kentucky, and one was congressman of Tennessee, and the other one was major general in the War of 1812. So she had circuit judges and senators and whatnot.
You sure did, us, bro.
Doctors and soldiers. And that was my father's great-grandmother. So I called you this morning. We're still wrestling on this general subject. We spent a long time with, Kosygin came in and leveled pretty heavy with me yesterday. Said they got to do it, now's the time, and go ahead and quit arguing about detail. While his letter was coming, we were talking to his man. I had initiated ahead of time. And I told him that I wanted to be positive. Not only did these people understand, the North Vietnamese, that the GVN had to be present, which they'd never agreed to before. But they had to also understand that we had the rules of engagement that had already been sent to Abrams that required him to act simultaneously with a response if the DMZ were violated or if the cities were shelled. If they had not agreed to that, we understood that. Maybe they couldn't. We wanted to be sure there was no language barrier and that all of them understood it. And most important, we wanted to be sure the Russians understood it and that they felt like that we were justified in acting on that assumption. So we laid it down pretty hard to the ambassador. While we were talking to him, my personal representative, not in the State Department, one of my men, in came the Kosygin blast to really go now. And we're still fighting on 3 points. One was who would attend the meeting, how we'd announce it, and we have agreed on that, Vance says this morning. And we'll have a secret paper which says, on the basis of prior discussions, it is agreed that a meeting to find a peaceful settlement of the Vietnam problem will be held in Paris on date and time to be filled out. The U.S. has said that the RVN will be present, and the DRV has said that the NLF will be present. Accordingly, the meeting will include representatives of the DRV, NLF, RVN, and U.S. So, that,
well, I thought they'd already agreed to that some time ago.
This is arguing about a secret minute, so it would be in writing, you see. They have implied, no, they've always held against this. But the last week, the breakthrough, if there has been one, has been that they have implied that if everything else could be worked out, they would let them come in. And that's what we're getting. Our people think that that will give the government of South Vietnam a hell of a boost in South Vietnam. It is tantamount to saying that they recognize this elected government, they let them come in. And I say, well, why didn't it have the same effect on the NLF? But the diplomats say it doesn't, and Bunker says it doesn't. And so anyway, they think that we're getting a hell of a lot.
I understand that, but I guess it's all right. I knew, of course, they were going to bring the Viet Cong in there. They brought in the Vietnamese government.
Now, the next one, on paragraph A, the DRV maintained its insistence on inclusion of the words without conditions. Now, we realize it is without conditions, although in effect, by our telling them, the DMZ and the cities, that it really is a condition. Do you follow me?
Yes, sir.
Now, they want to put in the secret minute without conditions, and I don't agree to that, because I think that that would make my other story look inconsistent. Do you follow me there?
Yes, I do, and I think it'd make you look bad, too.
Yes, but...
you don't have to spell out what the conditions are, but if you say without conditions, that looks like you've surrendered the point that they was insisting on here 6 months ago.
At one point, the DRV suggested alternative language to the quoted word to the effect that U.S. representatives stated that President Johnson, in statements concerning cessation of bombing, will not use the word conditional, but they add a second sentence to the alternative proposal that representatives of the DRV understand this move is made without reciprocity. We rejected this proposal. Now, we agree that they're not agreeing to conditions, Dick, and we're agreeing that we're not getting reciprocity, but we're telling them what they're going to get, and we're just stopping it for a day or two, and if we don't get that, if they don't try to de-escalate by these two things, the cities and the others, then we go back to bombing, making difference what happened. But I still think that we cannot have any language like that, but I'd hate like hell for it to knock off our agreement. But anyway, that's one point that's holding up. Now, the second one is, Chu again asserted that the time interval could be discussed when and if the agreement was reached on the minute. However, after much discussion, the DRV representative finally stated that they proposed that if we stopped bombing any time on X day, the meeting could occur within a 6-day interval. So they've come down from 10 to a week to 6 days, and we're still 3 days. Harriman Vance said 3 days was our outside position. Now that's where we are now. Now the question is, do I want to let this go and have the record show that I could have gotten it and let somebody else come in and agree to it right after the election, or do I want to do it myself? That's one question. The second question is, how will it look from everybody in the country and the world and in history and every other way? I do not want this war to go on 1 minute more. I want to de-escalate it as quick as I can. On the other hand, it seems I'd have a hell of a lot less problems with the country and with the world and with the history if I did it the day after the election instead of the day before, or a couple of days before. Now, that's what I'd like to get your real reaction on. Buzz Wheeler says that he and Abrams got to have 2 days notice before so they can reposition their troops, so they can reposition their bombing orders for Laos and South Vietnam and get extra targets and things of that kind.
See, it's 11 days to the election, isn't it? Yeah, 11 days.
Well, it's presently what they'd like to do now. They'd like to have the meeting on November the 2nd, and that would require halting the bombing on the 27th to 28th. Now, I don't think we can do that, because I'm not going to have this unless I go meet Abrams and look at his rules of engagement and have him look me in the eye and tell me that he urges me to do this. I'm just not going to do it unless I'm sure. Now, you heard those other fellows the other day say that, and you've seen his letter. I got in Momeyer yesterday, and he said he definitely recommended it, that he thought it would be much more useful. He didn't want to say this publicly, but that he ran the bombers for a long time and that they need them more in Laos and South Vietnam and they do in North Vietnam. They do a hell of a lot more good beginning this week. And he said that'll be true for 4 months.
That Abrams?
Yeah, no, that's Momeyer, who is the air commander out
there. Yeah.
He's just been moved back to Langley, and I got him to come up by himself, did not tell him that the other chiefs had even been in, and just said, now, suppose you were president, and you had this kind of proposition, what would you do? And he said, I would do it. And he said it's an acceptable risk. It's your destruction can be more effective in Laos with the weather such as it is in South Vietnam than it can in North Vietnam. He said we can't get in there over 2 days a month, beginning now and lasting for at least 90 days and maybe 120.
Did he give you that in writing?
Yes, I'm sure he will. We took notes on him. That's in my note statement. Just like we took notes on what they all said the other day. Rostro takes notes on them all, and we got a quote from each general saying that, and of course we would do it. I thought I might do this if it got close to it. There's nobody I can talk to, even the government, hardly without getting it out, except Buzz Wheeler and Dean Rusk. So damn many doves in every department, and you, that's about all I can advise with or get it in the paper. But I thought I might have Abrams, Wheeler talked to me about it this morning, just fly into Honolulu a day or two before we had to, talk to him, and even if necessary, just bring him on back here and let him look all these leaders and candidates in the eye. He could probably be the most convincing man. I told Buzz Wheeler the other day that you had said that you thought that his judgment would have about as much effect as anybody's.
Well, I do.
He's not very eloquent, but he's tough, and he tells you what he thinks. And the commies are all out to get Westmoreland. I saw a report this morning, one of our ambassadors down there said Westmoreland said military ought to take over the countries, Latin America, where the commies were, and they're trying to smear him and destroy him, I think, because he stood up out there and he's able and loyal and everybody, and I think a good deal South Carolina background. I just think the sons of bitches are after him. I read this mean report this morning from a fellow named Corey, who is left winger with the Look magazine outfit that Kennedy had in Africa, and that we moved to Chile. But he's awfully ugly on Westmoreland. I don't believe Westmoreland ever say anything that ill-advised. I called Buzz Wheeler, and he said it's unthinkable. Said he wouldn't do anything like that at all. But they're smearing it all over. President Bray told Ambassador that Westmoreland's down, saying that the military ought to take over Latin America.
Latin America?
Yeah. Military ought to take over Chile, for instance, if they have any problems, like you did in Peru and Argentina and Brazil and all these other places. In other words, he's advocating military government instead of civilian.
I don't believe it.